Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
The NFL season may be over, but that doesn't mean you have to stop betting. There's plenty to wager on over at betonline.ag, including their $100,000 Bracket Madness contest. You only need $10 to enter, but be sure to do so before March 19th. You can also bet on the NBA, the NHL, my personal favorite, NFL draft props, and so much more. Head on over to betonline.ag today and put your sports knowledge to the test.
TDN Fantasy. The TDN Fantasy Podcast. The TDN Fantasy Podcast. With your hosts Paige DeMacos, Jamie Eisner, and Jake Arians.
Welcome into the TDN Fantasy Podcast. Chris Schubert filling in for Paige DeMacos once again. Got Jamie Eisner, Jake Arians here with me. Guys, another day. The free agency previews continue. And we have a pretty big group to start off today's show with. And Jake, I'll just start here with you before we get into some of the names. This wide receiver list, we could have kept going. I actually had to arbitrarily stop the list at some point so we could get in all of these names on the show.
You know, Hype, there's a ton of big names. I don't know there's going to be a ton of big movement. I think this is going to be the year of the franchise tag. It's such a value for these superstar receivers. When you're hearing rumors of some of these guys turning down $19 million a year and these teams are going to get them around $16 million, I think there's going to be a lot of – now, whether that transition tag is applied, the permanent tag is applied, a tag and trade, something like that, maybe that's where we see the movement. But I think some of this is going to be a little bit anticlimactic for the first week of free agency. But, man, there are some monster names on here that you wouldn't normally think of getting to in free agency with big-time receivers.
Yeah, Jamie, I think the tag looms large over this position group more so than any of the other guys that we've talked about, especially at the top of this list. So because we have such a lengthy list, let's jump right into it. The guy that's on the top of the list, Jamie, I'll start here with you, is Chris Godwin. And we just talked about the franchise tag. This might be where we start with this process, as Chris Godwin could get the franchise tag. But he is, in my opinion, the top receiver in this market. And if he does hit free agency, there are going to be a lot of teams trying to acquire Chris Godwin.
I would be surprised if he lands anywhere other than Tampa. And, you know, this goes back to he's not going to get the most money playing for the Bucs next year, but he will have the best opportunity to win a Super Bowl. And do you bring back the whole team? You know, you have a connection with Brady. It's the most targeted wide receiver on the on the Buccaneers last year. Like, you can go somewhere else for a team that has a little bit more money that maybe can offer you a bigger deal. Or you can say, you know what, I'm going to run it back this year. The thing that I'm intrigued about, Chris, and it'll be something that we talk about for a lot of these guys, doesn't really apply here, but there are two things. There's the tag and trade potential, which I think we're going to see at least be talked about more often than before. And I do want to see which guys maybe take shorter term, bigger guaranteed deals to wait to see what happens with the cap 2, 3, 4 years down the road, particularly if this is their first time hitting the free agent market and they're still going to be able to hit the market in their late 20s at some point. But for me, I think Chris Godwin comes back to Tampa Bay. If he does, he's going to be that stud fantasy, probably wide receiver two, that you've been enjoying for most of the time. I don't think he's going to be the top five guy because there's so many mouths to feed in that Tampa offense, but he'll be a really solid fantasy option. And if he goes somewhere else, it depends on the offense. We'll see. Miami's got some money to spend. Indianapolis has some money to spend and some needs. But right now, I have a hard time seeing him outside of Tampa Bay.
Allen Robinson, the next name up on this list, and I look at it from this perspective, Jake. Allen Robinson, if the Bears don't franchise tag him, I don't know whoever their quarterback is going to be next year is throwing the ball to. So I think just on that premise alone, the franchise tag is certainly a high probability here. But if Allen Robinson does hit the market, there are going to be plenty of teams, just like we mentioned with Chris Godwin. Jamie mentioned, I think, two of the bigger ones, Indy, Miami, New York's got money to throw around. Those are teams that need wide receivers, and Allen Robinson is going to be a guy that they talk to.
Here's the crazy thing with this. I mean, if they lose Allen Robinson for $19, $20 million a year, if they don't decide to franchise tag him. And that's why I go back to this. This is such a value for these guys. You're getting these guys at $16 million. These first three or four guys we're going to talk about are $20 million a year guys. But for Chris Godwin, who's a third-round pick, right, He made $672,000 and jumped to $2.1 million this year. If he makes $16 million guaranteed and is a free agent again with the cap going back up, to Jamie's point, it'll be really interesting to see. Okay, I'm cool with being franchised for a year in his situation. Allen Robinson's been paid once, but is on that track to get paid again. If you're the Bears, how do you let him walk? This dude has been a superstar, regardless who the quarterback is, forever. 100-plus targets without a drop. I mean, if you let him go, do you replace him with Juju Smith-Schuster, who's cheaper? You still got to have a receiver. Do you bring T.Y. Hilton in? Indianapolis needs to keep T.Y., in my opinion, and sign one of these guys and set themselves up to be a triple threat with Michael Pittman Jr. would be absolutely amazing. You could replace T.Y. and be okay. But if you're Chicago, you have the dude there. You could franchise him for that amount of money, work on a long-term deal, tie him up for a while. But if you replace him with one of these other guys, they're not as good. How could you let Allen Robinson walk? I kind of go back to what I said about Dak the other day. I literally can't – I could picture him a lot of places, but I can't picture him really leaving. I can't imagine they let him out of town.
I saw a statistic, and this will transition into the next guy that we talk about, that Joe Marino pointed out to me. Not really a stat, but just a note. And it took me a minute. I had to take a step back and actually think about it. Allen Robinson, 27 years old, feels like he's been in the league forever. Kenny Golladay is also 27 years old. It feels like Kenny Golladay's been in the league for two seasons. Like, that is just the weirdness of sometimes the NFL. And Kenny Golladay, another guy who Detroit probably in their best interest to franchise tag him. Jamie, I guess I'll ask you this question. With where Detroit is in their process, they've traded away Matt Stafford. They're bringing in Jared Goff. Does it make sense for them to come to a long-term deal with Kenny Golladay, or does it make more sense to probably tag and trade him and try to get something out of Kenny Golladay?
I would say tag and trade. And my philosophy going back to when we discussed this Goff for Stafford trade was that they were essentially elongating the window in which they're going to try to find a franchise quarterback. And they bought themselves another, you know, but they bought themselves instead of having to figure it out in 2021. They've now extended that window out to 2023 to find whether it's a young quarterback that's moving from elsewhere, whether it's somebody coming up in these next two or three drafts. They've kind of elongated that window. I don't think they're a contender right now, so I'm not really excited to lock up long-term money in Kenny Golladay, because by the time he's going to provide you value as a legitimate playoff team, you're going to start to be into the mid to back portion of that contract. However, you can't let him walk for nothing. And this is where the tag and trade comes in again, where the numbers that these very top wide receivers are able to sign for, you have to get an asset for him, because Marvin Jones, we'll talk about later, is going to be gone. Danny Amendola is going to be gone. I understand them going maybe, tapping into that kind of like that mid-level or the bargain bin free agent market right now afterwards, because they're really just kind of looking to build up this team with young pieces. They might bring in a receiver in the top 10 pick themselves as well, but you can't let Kenny Golladay walk for nothing. And to see, you know, it limits your options when you do tags and trades, and you can put yourself in a weird spot. But, you know, to me, with teams like Indianapolis needing guys, Miami needing guys, the Jets needing guys, the Jets having plenty of draft capital, Miami having plenty of draft capital, like Deshaun Watson can only go one place. You know what I mean? So somebody is going to be left with when the chairs are done and the music stops, somebody's going to be left without Deshaun Watson, and they're still going to have plenty of draft capital. Those teams are still going to have a young quarterback or a rookie quarterback operating them. To me, moving one of your day two-ish picks to get Kenny Golladay into the fold, work out an extension, would be phenomenal, because I think that might be the only way you can actually get him this offseason.
It's the only one that makes sense, right? Like, this is a different situation than A-Rob or than Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin especially. I mean, Allen Robinson wants to get paid, but he's a team guy. You never hear anything out of him, regardless who the quarterback is. Golladay wants to get paid. I think he wants to get out of Detroit. I love those two other options. I think the Jets are going to be big-time players, whether it's trying to trade for somebody or just sign him in free agency. But the rumors are he's already turned down a bunch of money and they want to keep him. So I would be shocked if he's in Detroit next year. With the other two guys, I'd be shocked if they're playing somewhere else.
Jamie, that was a great point that you brought up, because I hadn't thought about it from that angle of the team that either misses out on Deshaun Watson, or even the team that gets Deshaun Watson, and maybe they still have some draft capital left over, turning a day two pick into Kenny Golladay is a very unique and very interesting scenario that could play out. So yeah, from
especially
Detroit's
the cap
perspective,
space.
Yeah, right.
Like, because
right.
you're talking about this from either you're going to get, like, if you're the Jets, either getting another young option for Zach Wilson or Justin Fields, or if you're Miami and you make all this moves for Deshaun Watson, you're a Super Bowl contender right away. So what do you? So but you need to get a true wide receiver one to pair with Devontae Parker.
You think a two would do it, Jamie? I don't think a two does it. I mean, you got to talk about Amari Cooper was a one in Dallas. I don't think they let Galladay walk for a day two pick.
Don't the dynamics play a role here, right? There's just free agents out there in the wide receiver market, so they can go to Detroit and be like, fine, I'm not giving you a two. I'm just going to go sign somebody.
He's worth more than a Galladay. Two. But, yeah, he's worth more than a two. The question is how much leverage do the Lions actually have in that case? Are they going to if Kenny Galladay says, I'm not signing long-term, I'm going to come in, I'm going to play on the franchise tag, but I'm not signing, you know, then at that point, who knows? Because Miami's pick is what, 36, 35? So, I mean, it's not like it's –
True. If that one would probably do it. Yeah.
Yeah. And if that isn't moved, like, would you rather have, you know, Terrace Marshall, or would you rather, and I understand there's a financial element, but if you're trying to win now window, I'd much rather have Kenny Galladay than a Terrace Marshall or a Rondale Moore, or I know they're different styles of receivers, but that's who the guys are going to be available with those sorts of picks. I could see that happening, but a lot of that is just, it's leverage. You know, if Kenny Galladay is like, I'll stay here, but I just want all the money in the world. You know, but I can't see him just leaving for free. I just can't. Him or Robinson. I just can't see those guys just like their organization just letting them walk. You have to try to get something for him if you can't convince him to stay.
Yeah, I think any of those teams that pick in that 33 to 40 range in the second round basically have first round value in terms of a draft pick that they could offer to the Lions. And I think the Lions would love to pick in the first half of the second round because there's going to be a ton of talent left on that board. All right, guys, another wide receiver. Will Fuller, and I think this is a very interesting situation in just that he could go elsewhere, but, you know, there's the injuries, there's the suspension, there's a lot of stuff that plays into signing Will Fuller. And then I could see him coming back and supporting whoever the quarterback is next season. If it's Deshaun Watson, although I don't think that's very likely, but if they make a pick at number two or number three, you want a veteran number one type wide receiver for your rookie quarterback to go to. Will Fuller kind of provides that, Jake.
You want a happy one, though. I think you're going to see the same stuff, and we talked about it before with Will Fuller, that you're seeing with Deshaun Watson. I think he wants out of town. I think he wants a fresh start. And you do have injury history. You have suspension stuff going on. His value is still pretty high, but they're going to have to do a bunch of background on what the suspensions look like, what else could be coming down the pipeline. I would expect him to be gone, and I would expect him to be a 1A on a good team. It goes back to like, okay, does Green Bay actually do something? How much do they keep trying? Valdez-Scantling was better this year, but still drops. He's still going to drop a touchdown every other game. He's still going to drop a 12-yard out. Do they want somebody that's more of a 1A that can take the top off the defense, and can they afford that? I still think he's somewhere else playing a really solid role, but not being a true number one.
Yeah, and I fully kind of expect him to get tagged, and then we'll see what happens from there, because I still think this Deshaun Watson situation is going to get more complicated before it becomes simplistic. I know we all are rooting for just for one, either you're a fan of one of the teams that are trying to get him, or B, you're just a fan of the chaos, because we don't see this type of silly season in the NFL. It's something that it's a luxury that has been given to other sports, but usually not the NFL. But I'm not as sold that this is going to happen before the draft. And I think if this doesn't happen, as we talked about, by April 29th, this gets a whole new layers of intriguing, whether it's because whether we're talking about holdouts for Deshaun Watson, whatever capital you're getting is now mystery. You don't know what picks 2022's picks are going to be if you trade them for a team. And they're probably going to be better than the ones you have now. Like Miami ain't picking three because A, they're going to be better, and B, they're not going to have the Texans' pick. So like, same thing with the Jets.
You're also going
to
limit the amount of teams that are going to be in the sweepstakes based off their draft or off of their salary cap, because you've already gone through the draft and you've already gone through free agency. So, like, you're literally going to take four or five teams that might think they're in the sweepstakes now, and they're not going to be in the mix at that point because he's already got that monster contract he's on.
Yeah, because because there's this – I don't want to get down the tangent because I know we'll go off on a rain and have, like, a whole thing. I've got a flight to catch. But, like, if this doesn't happen on the 29th and the Jets take a quarterback at two, and let's say Trey Lance falls to Carolina and they like him at eight. Where are you trading Deshaun Watson? Miami?
Miami or Denver at that point, unless Oakland really is.
San Francisco, because they're not getting a quarterback at 12. Listen, I'm not saying it's a great option. I'm just, you asked the question.
It's a great option for Watson. But, yeah. I mean, it's for the Texans. So all of a sudden, even if you get the same – let's pretend even if you get the same exact picks – those first-round picks you're going to get next year are going to be 20 to 25 spots lower than the picks you would have gotten this year.
Right, so but go back to San Francisco for a second. If they re-sign Trent Williams, sign Patrick Peterson, re-sign Sherman, they got no cap space.
There's no cap there.
Then they need Jimmy G at $20 million because they can't do Deshaun at 33 or whatever he's at. So that's what I was talking about cap-wise. Like, somebody's going to be dead in the water even though they want to pull something off.
I have what could potentially be a very dumb question. So Jamie is relishing at the opportunity of me asking this question. In the NBA, we see this all the time where guys get drafted and then they get traded. And that stuff happens, you know, they have to wait 30 days or something, right? Is there a procedure in the NFL? Like, is there a rule that I don't know about that, like, they have to wait a certain amount of time? Could, let's say, the Dolphins or the Jets trade the player they took it to? Like, let's say Houston loves Zach Wilson, and that's what the Jets took it to, and they are able to make this trade. Can Zach Wilson be traded?
You go back to Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers, right? So unless something's changed since then, I'm not sure.
I think it's pre-contract. Now, you can trade him whenever you want, but if they sign that contract, the dead cap hit would be
absurd,
through the roof.
Right.
I believe. So if you trade them before they sign their deals, yes, a la, like, there's nothing like a draft day trade. But I think once they've already signed their deals, you're then beholden to that 4-year contract. And at that point, trying to trade that away, I believe would incur a massive dead cap hit for you. Because you have to pay
slotted,
the bonuses.
You're slotted you in the contracts, but nobody's signing them in the first
2-3 weeks.
But it will get more complicated.
But if we're getting
to
May and June, or if we start to get like there, then at that point, those guys are off the table because it would not be financially viable to then trade Justin
Fields,
for example.
How awesome would that be if we don't get anywhere till April 29th and it's prime time and all of a sudden – and we have a trade.
The Jets are on the clock. The Dolphins are on the clock. And
something crazy happened. Dude, that'd be awesome.
Deadlines
for
action.
All of that.
Deadlines for action.
When the calendar turns to April, we'll see how steadfast Houston is in their unwavering stance of not trading Deshaun Watson. Okay, let's keep this wide receiver train moving, guys. Juju Smith-Schuster, another one of these big names, I think, in the top tier of wide receiver. Again, he's another tag candidate, but guys, I don't see it. Like,
I don't
Jake,
think so.
Your big thing is, you know, you can't see a player leaving. I can't see Juju staying.
No, I can't either at this point. They have a ton of weapons. The production hasn't been there since AB left, and it's not really on Juju. They moved him in the slot. I think he's a perfect 2 and a really good offense. I think he'd fit phenomenal in Oakland, in Las Vegas with the Raiders, with Gruden, playing in the slot, being that physical guy. I think Gruden would love a kid like that. It would fit Juju's personality a ton. I'd love to see him there, but I agree. I can't see him back at this point. They have cap issues. James Conner, I said, I think he's going to be back cheap because I just can't picture him going anywhere else, although they need help there. They need to add to that, but they have plenty of receivers. And they're going to throw it a ton because Ben can't really move, and he's going to be their quarterback, it looks like, after he restructures his deal. But, no, I would expect Juju to be somewhere else. New York makes sense, too, but not really if they bring Crowder back. I think Juju's kind of in that slot role at this point. I mean, a place that would fit is if Chris Godwin somehow
Absolutely.
Wasn't in Tampa.
He
would fit that role that Hines Ward and Reggie Wayne and Larry Fitzgerald and now Chris Godwin have had in that offense. But I can't imagine Chris Godwin going anywhere and they'll let him out of town. But I think Juju would fit that kind of thing perfectly. That offense doesn't really exist anywhere else in the league at this point.
The cap number would be interesting on that too, right? Because the Bucs don't have a ton of cap space at the moment. So if they
Godwin left.
Yeah.
Would it though? It would be close.
No, he'd be cheaper. Because he's not – because he'd be on we're talking about a 3-4-year deal probably. I mean, his cap hit would be a few million lower. You don't make that move to save money. You make that move if Chris Godwin's not there. Like, that's
right. Yeah.
Would be the replacement there. Also, just to throw another name out there for that, Washington, I think would be a really solid spot for him.
Yeah.
Because they need someone alongside Terry McLaurin to kind of run the routes. They don't have to have him run.
Yeah, they also need to figure out their
– I think Juju, if Juju is let to walk and be a free agent – I think his off-the-field stuff, personality, his giant market away from football is going to matter to him. So I can't imagine him playing in Detroit, regardless of what the money is. He's so marketable outside of being a football player, even though it's with football. I think it'll matter to him, and I'm totally speculating. It just makes a ton of sense that it's one of those markets. I think Washington's big enough to pull that off.
Yeah, but Vegas makes sense too, especially because knowing Juju's background, not a drinker, doesn't do drugs, that environment's not going to be a problem for him off the field. That would be a perfect spot for him to be highlighted.
The New York Jets would be a good one too, guys.
I said the Jets.
I just want to point that
out. If they cut Crowder.
I think the Jets are better off bringing Crowder back than doing that with Juju for cheaper.
So there's a bit of a tier break here, I think, in the wide receiver names that we're going to discuss. I love the names in this tier. Like, there are some guys in here that I think are just awesome football players, and we're going to start with one. Corey Davis, I loved coming out of college, and this past season, almost getting to 1,000 yards, clearly having the best year of his career, probably made himself a good amount of money with the way that he played this year. I love Corey Davis. He's probably one of my favorite guys in this class because I think he's extremely underrated when you look at the rest of these guys. But Jake, I'll ask you this question. If a bunch of the guys that we just talked about get tagged, all of a sudden Corey Davis shoots up to the top of this wide receiver board and probably makes himself even more money.
Maybe, but you got to look at, he was a bust. Corey Davis was an absolute mega bust until this season. He broke out. He was up for, you know, comeback player of the year because he really broke out and had a really solid season. But he's not a one. And, you know, the other guys you're talking about are ones that are going to get paid like ones. I can't imagine Corey Davis being paid like a one. It's going to be prove it. He was a great complimentary piece in that offense with a ton of play action, A.J. Brown, the other weapons. But I can't picture anybody in the league saying, okay, we're going to sign Corey Davis. He's our one. We're going to pay him $16, $17 million a year, and we're going to ride this out with him. I don't think he's there yet. We all loved him in fantasy this year. He was great. He broke out. He was really, really solid player. But he ran the same route a ton. It's not like he went up and made a ton of contested catches. He doesn't run every route in the route tree. He's a big guy. I loved him coming out of college too, but that goes to my point of him being a bust for his first 4 years. Like, it was a mega, mega bust. And then he had a really solid year, but it wasn't a $16 or $17 million a year guy year. He's not a one. I think he's a great complimentary two to somebody because he's a big physical guy. So if you got a shifty guy or take the top off the defense guy already, he fits a lot of roles, but he's only really been in that offense as well. So I can't see him, if the rest of these guys getting tagged, jumping up to being paid like a one.
I think a place, and that's where it's going to be interesting, because I think he could land somewhere as a one to not actually be a one, just because they don't have the pieces. I think New England comes to mind for me as a team that I think he would have some success on.
They're not paying him $16, $17 million.
No. And then it comes to, like, because for my money, like, after the season he has to try to get as much money as possible. Because he was a couple years away from – I mean, if he had a bad year this year, he's a dude that's signing a two-year deal with a bunch of incentives. So he's got to get the money now off of that. But New England makes a lot of sense to me. We already mentioned Washington is a team that makes some sense. I think if he's willing to take a discount, Kansas City, to go be the number two there. They've got Tyreek Hill tape the top off there. Sammy Watkins is leaving. DeMarcus Robinson's leaving. I think Hartman's a good gadget player. I don't think he can be a two. Again, you're not going to get your full market value to go to Kansas City. But, you know, those are some really interesting options for me.
If Detroit loses Galladay, I like that. Did he play at Central Michigan? Mm-hmm, Eastern Michigan?
Western Michigan? Western Michigan.
One of those. That would make sense. I mean, he's got ties to the state.
Sure. I mean,
it's cheaper than Galladay for sure.
Or if he wants to go somewhere.
That would be one, but he's not really a one situation, Jay.
Exactly. And another team for that would be the Bears. Like, if they lose Allen Robinson, if he wants to be featured, but maybe not, you know, you're going to be the wide receiver one by proxy and you're going to get a lot of work, but you're not going to be on a good team. I mean, Detroit, Chicago, those guys can easily fit in there.
Arizona next to Hopkins?
I don't think
they need somebody.
They do.
But
they're going to need somebody. They're going to try to get one of these guys.
Right. But Hopkins is already that possession back shoulder guy. He runs slants. Hopkins does everything. I think they need, because they've already got little guys. But they need somebody that's shiftier, that runs the whole route tree. He's a big dude. Like, him getting off the bus, him and A.J. Brown getting off the bus, it's like the Miami Hurricanes of the 80s. Like, they just look different getting off the bus, right? I don't know that he fits that offense. That's a lot of shifty, quick stuff.
Antonio Brown, another Tampa Bay Buccaneer, next up on the list. And we talked about Chris Godwin more than likely coming back. I don't know if Antonio Brown fits into what the Bucs are going to do next season, considering all the guys that they need to bring back. And, Jake, I guess I'll defer to you on this one. It just feels like with everything that they have to do, Antonio Brown might be the guy that just kind of goes somewhere else.
Maybe. I don't know that Antonio Brown wants to go somewhere else. They want him back at the right price, but he's not on the top of their priority list when you've got Shaq Barrett, Lavonte David, and Chris Godwin, and these guys that you know are right there at the top that they got to get done. But I think they're going to look at it, see what money they got left, what they can move around and say, okay, can we get him back for a few million? Does he want to play with Tom again? Does he want to make another run at it? He got good. He earned it. He earned a lot more money than that, right? Like, once he got his legs under him, he really got rolling. And he's the ultimate insurance policy for them. But they love Tyler Johnson, who came on as a rookie. Scotty is damn good. But the thing with AB that when they signed him that made so much sense was he plays all three positions. And Mike and Chris both have injury histories that if you miss a guy, now you got Antonio Brown, who's not the same guy, but he's still pretty damn good stepping into that role. It'll be interesting. Does he need the money? Does he want the money? Does he want to take the chance going somewhere else that maybe he's not the same locker room, same coaching staff without Tom Brady? I don't know. I think that's where the Bucs really have a huge advantage on a lot of teams. Guys want to take less money to play there and go for a ring, especially in this short, in this smaller cap window.
Yeah, I've been on record on the show as saying this. If Antonio Brown goes anywhere other than Tampa Bay, I'm 100% out. His off-the-field stuff's been well-documented. If he's not going to be in that environment with Tom Brady in a familiar system with that support group that's down there in Tampa, I think the risk of something, you know, him falling off the wagon is really high. I understand he might want to chase basically one final big payday for his career. Otherwise, he's going to be signing a lot of these short-term deals. But if he leaves Tom Brady, he leaves Tampa in that system, I don't know if I would trust him as another team trying to sign him. And I don't know if I would trust him as a fantasy player wanting to draft him. So if he's back in Tampa, I think he could have a really fruitful season, but I want nothing to do with him if he leaves town. I don't trust it. And you could prove me wrong. Maybe he's turned things around regardless of everything else. But if he's not in that support system,
Jamie, that's a great point, because it's a weird dynamic, right? Like, you would think he was a model citizen. He won a Super Bowl. He looked really good on the field, like I said, after he got his legs under him and got him a little more acclimated. But the sense, I think, league-wide is still, well, he was with Tom in Tampa and he was living at Tom's house and BA knows him and they know how to keep him under wraps. Yeah. And it's almost a detriment to him that he was so good and you didn't hear anything from him. Like, did you see any pictures of him at the Super Bowl parade? Like, you haven't heard anything from AB, yeah. Nothing. Which I think it almost works against him, which smart, it was great. But I think it really leans towards him going back there, probably a one-year deal for less money, make another run at it. And he could sign another year deal. Like, if one of those guys gets hurt and he's the starter for four games, he's putting up good numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about the – I don't know. Is this the TDN Fantasy Podcast favorite wide receiver, T.Y. Hilton? Do we have an official title?
He's up there, man. He's up there.
We talk about him a lot on this show. And we've mentioned him before here on this episode in the fact that Indy's probably going to need to bring him back. And maybe they float the franchise tag out there for T.Y. Hilton. They certainly have the cap space to do something like this. But let's play this game out. T.Y. Hilton doesn't come back to the Indianapolis Colts. Jamie, the best fit for T.Y. Hilton is blank.
I don't know. And I know that's not
a great
cop
answer
out.
for the podcast.
I know it's a cop out, but I don't know what is left for T.Y. Like, in terms of those deep route stuff down the field that they want to do in Indianapolis, like, I think that's the fit for him. I think the fit is to be the receiver that Carson Wentz wants to take shots to in that offense. If he goes somewhere else, I don't think he's not going to be a wide receiver one anywhere else. He'll be a complimentary piece. And a lot of these teams that need to get these other pieces already have a receiver that's younger and kind of like T.Y. and they need something different. So that's where, like, I guess maybe teams like Green Bay could be a fit there. You know, if Houston, if they don't bring back Fuller, would be a fit. But like, he's kind of got the skill set that's the type of receiver that I think Indy needs to, like Jake said, re-sign and then bring in another piece. Like, I think that could be the Carson Wentz go-to guy again. Like, I think that's such a perfect fit for me with where he's going. Maybe Cleveland, if they end up trading Odell Beckham. Like, if you need somebody else, because, you know, they need somebody else that goes down the field that's not just Donovan Peoples-Jones. So having like Donovan Peoples-Jones come in on certain packages, you have T.Y. Hilton, you have Jarvis Landry and all the underneath stuff. I think those could be fits, but Indianapolis seems to me like the best spot for him to resign.
A couple of things there with that one is, do they want to go Paris Campbell significantly cheaper that kind of turned into T.Y. 2? Not quite the same player, but a lot cheaper. It could take the top off the defense. If that's the case, I'd love to see him in Miami on the other side, Devontae Parker with Deshaun Watson. And I go back to what you were just talking about, Chris, is the Arizona Cardinals. You throw him on the other side of Hopkins. Now a guy that can run it all and can still get deep. And you got Isabella and you got Kirk who can run deep, but they're slot guys. And you need somebody that can move around, play different positions, quick off the line. That one makes a lot of sense to me. I think Miami jumps out to me first. You throw him in there with that cap space, he's not going to be crazy. You go back to two, he's also been his entire career in Indianapolis. They love him there. He's a great locker room guy. So that franchise tag may be higher than his contract would be somewhere else. But for a year, I think they're fine with paying him $16 million with the cap space that they have. It wouldn't surprise me if they do that.
Right, because it wouldn't hinder their ability to do anything else because they've already got the quarterback and they still have $40+ million to add to a roster that was a playoff roster already. So, you know, they can afford for one season to kind of go over. That was a good shout on Arizona because I think they're gonna be in the market for one of these guys. But when you look at their cap situation, they're not going to be able to go after any of the big name guys to put next to DeAndre Hopkins, nor do I think they need to. But they don't have the cap space considering all of the other things that they're going to need to do. So T.Y. Makes a lot of sense there. Okay, we got two more wide receivers before we get into tight ends. Jamie, these were two that you late additions to the list that you wanted to talk about. And I think these were two great additions. Curtis Samuel, the first guy that we will mention here.
Pounding the table, Chris, for your guys, the New York Jets. That's my favorite fit for him. They need somebody that can run all of these little gadget plays, can run the jet sweep motion, can do all of the stuff these LaFleur type offenses, the Shanahan branch trees love to do. They have some good pieces. Like, I like what Denzel Mims can turn into. I love, you know, everybody knows how much I love Jamison Crowder in the slot. I still think they need a bigger, like a more reliable deep threat. I know they took a shot with Perriman last year. It kind of worked out at times, but it kind of didn't because he got hurt again. But I love what they could, how creative they could be with Curtis Samuel in that offense. That would be my absolute favorite fit. Green Bay could be a fit as well. So could New England. There's a lot of spots for him. I don't think it's Jacksonville. I know everyone's doing the Urban Meyer connection. They've got guys that can do that. Like, they don't, that's not the receiver they need down there. I think you're just adding on to the players they already have.
You just drafted LaVisca Chenault.
I was just saying, LaVisca Chenault. He's a bigger version of that. Like, that's what he does.
Like, you just run that play with Chenault. And if you want to bring in, like, not the Curtis Samuel type. I think the Jets are missing that piece of the offense. And if they're going to get really creative with either Fields or Zach Wilson, I think they need, or Deshaun Watson. I love them to have that piece. And I think he would be a great fit for them there. They can afford to basically pay market or slightly above market, but given their cap situation, I think that's a perfect spot for him.
I love that one, James. What are the Jets missing? Home run hitters. Like, Crowder's awesome in the slot. He's a possession guy. Mims could probably turn into that. Braxton Berrios at one point was their best receiver. He's not a home run hitter. They don't have a running back that's a home run hitter. Curtis Samuel, people forget, like, he's a tweener. They put him in the backfield, all the stuff you're talking about, but he kind of developed into a nice receiver. He went with 5 games in a row with touchdowns, you know, catching slants and corners in the back of the end zone, that kind of stuff. I love him there, man. I think that makes a ton of sense, and they need to get creative. But when you don't have a home run hitter and you can get one, you got to try to get one and make give him the ball in space.
Jamie, I will second your pounding of the table for the Jets to get Curtis Samuel. Thank you for doing that. Okay, last wide receiver that we will mention here. We've already mentioned him here on the show. Marvin Jones, and I think this is an interesting one. Here's more of a veteran type, not necessarily in the same tier as some of the other guys that we mentioned, but I think there are going to be some teams that will look at Marvin Jones as a nice complementary piece to the wide receiver group they already have and to kind of round that group into form, Jake. You're nodding your head in approval, which means I made a good point, which I'm happy.
I've got the spot. I've already said on the show, I think he goes to the Rams with Stafford. He's a family guy. He considers Stafford family. They have a chemistry and a connection. I don't think the Rams are done being aggressive and making moves this offseason. They're dead for years without first-round picks. They still got cap issues. They still got dead money. And they got a lot of pieces they could move to be able to add him. You can move a young Van Jefferson. You can move Reynolds. You can move Everett or Higbee if they don't lose Higbee in free agency. But, like, I don't think they're done making some moves. And I think Stafford would want him there. I think he would want to be there. Even if he's one of those guys that if it's 80% of the money, you go with where you're comfortable. I think he would fit that offense great. They still need somebody to take the top off. Now, you're talking about a guy this year that kind of like Corey Davis. When Galladay was out, Marvin never really been the one that took over and was a stud. He was a stud this year, absolute stud when Galladay was out. It makes a lot of sense for him to end up in L.A.
Yeah, I think that to me, that's the obvious one, just because of the connections that he's had there. You know, there's we get all these other names and all the teams, but that would be – he'd have to take a discount, but just he would be an awesome piece. Inside of that offense. I think he would be a good replacement for Corey Davis in Tennessee as well. They need somebody that's not just that A.J. Brown over the top there. He's a fit in a lot of places because he does a lot of things well. He might not be elite in any one category, but he's well-rounded across the board. He can be a number one on a short stretch if you need him to be. He can have success as a complementary piece to a number one that's getting a double-digit target share. He's just a really solid player that doesn't get enough recognition. And if he played somewhere that wasn't Detroit, like, he'll get more recognition in LA than he ever did in Detroit, even though LA's market as a football market is not as passionate as Detroit's market in terms of a media market and people paying attention and where the NFL has headquarters, that will make a difference.
To the tight ends we go, and I will say this list shorter than the wide receiver list. Don't have that many big names to talk about, but I think the biggest name on the list is Hunter Henry. Speaking of LA teams, we will go just across the offices to the Los Angeles Chargers. Hunter Henry, gentlemen, I think this is a very interesting scenario because I kind of think he still stays in LA and he's back with the Chargers, but there are going to be teams that will be interested in signing Hunter Henry. So I wonder if the franchise tag is a possibility here.
Again, right? Would it be a double tag?
This will be two straight years. And that comes with a bigger payday. That's, you know, when you tag a guy a second time, it's, I think, 120%. But that just feels to me like a very likely scenario here.
Makes a lot of sense, other than you now have a quarterback that's on a rookie contract. So you can move some stuff around. You could get creative. I don't think they want him to leave. He showed that he had chemistry when he was healthy with Herbert. A ton of teams are going to be interested, right? A ton, right? Anybody that even thinks they might need tight end help, he's going to be at the top of the list. I just can't picture him leaving town. I mean, when you have that young quarterback, when he's healthy, he's top tier. And you can't lose guys like that. Even if you got to overpay him a little bit, you know him. He's been in your organization the entire time. I picture him staying. And if that's tagging him another year, you're still getting value this year with the cap number going down. And he's more than a tight end, right? So you don't look at him quite like Kelsey, but you're not looking at him like a guy that's blocking more than he's receiving either. You know what I mean? Like you could pay a little bit more for that.
Yeah, that's where I am as well. I think he ends up staying in LA. They need that fit. LA's team is interesting because I think they need to add some of their pass catching weapons. If they can't lose Henry, like, you love Keenan Allen, but like Mike Williams is, I mean, he's just a guy to me. Like he can make spectacular plays. He fights a lot. He's a tough dude, but he's not like, he's that like take a couple shots a game to downfield guy, keep the defense honest, throw up some 50-50 balls. So they're 60-40 for him, but he's not like that reliable go-to guys. And as I'm watching him like go down the field to like Guyton and all these other options late in the year, you're like, they're missing a piece. They'd be missing two if Hunter Henry was gone. So I think they have to make sure they keep him. They're not going to be able to invest draft capital in pass catchers. They can't. They have to fix that offensive line. They have to get that situation handled and under control soon. So they're not going to be able to spend early picks on those guys. They have to find a way to re-sign them. I think another team that could be interesting if he got away, Arizona would be interesting. I don't think they can afford him. So he would fit, but they need.
Their tight ends are really receivers. Like, they're more five wide than they are even having a tight end on the field, or four wide.
Yeah, but they don't really have anybody. Like, they need an upgrade on Dan Arnold for sure as that option. I think Max Williams gets cut. He's more of a blocker at this point anyway. But I could see him making sense, you know, in Arizona, Buffalo. I don't think he can afford their full price, but Buffalo would be a really intriguing option, especially if they move on from John Brown, which I don't think they should do. But, you know, so there's some options there. But I'm like you guys. I don't see him leaving the Chargers. Like, there's a fit. There's a need. There's money to pay him there. That's the perfect spot for him to stay.
Another Tennessee Titan on our list. Jonnu Smith next up in the tight end category that we will talk about. And listen, just looking at this from Tennessee perspective, they could lose both Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith in an offseason and then just be looking at A.J. Brown to be catching passes from Ryan Tannehill. So it's imperative that I think one of these guys comes back to Tennessee or they find somebody to replace these guys.
Their whole tight end
room. Arthur Smith.
Their entire tight end room because Michael Pruitt's and I think Jeff Swaimer, unrestricted free agent. Firkser's a restricted free agent. Jonnu Smith's a free agent. I mean, they're missing a lot of pieces. Oh, and by the way, they got to fix their defense. So, like, they're in this kind of tenuous spot right now as a team where they're kind of going to probably be a playoff caliber-ish team, but they're not going to be anywhere close to a Super Bowl contender. Like, they're in this weird purgatory now. But to me, again, pound the table, dream destination. Put them in Baltimore, please. Please put Jonnu Smith in Baltimore. He is the perfect player for what they want to do. He can block, he can catch, he can be that tight end. You have Nick Boyle, Jonnu Smith, Mark Andrews, all have different. You've got your blocking tight end, your receiving tight end, your hybrid. They're all successful. We can go back to that offense you ran 2 years ago. That would be the perfect fit for me.
Jamie, I love that you just described a true tight end as a hybrid tight end. That's this crazy. Well,
that's what it is now, right?
We live in now. He can actually block and catch, which is what the tight end position means. But we call that a hybrid now because you have a blocking tight end and a dude that doesn't block anybody. He's the guy in between that's the hybrid. I love it there. I absolutely love him there. I think they're going to probably have to overpay him to keep him, but I think he's probably another tag candidate because I can't imagine they're going to tag Corey Davis at that price. It would make sense, but I can't. with that room and that much flux, and him turning into a top tier guy when healthy as well, I can't imagine he gets out of town.
And Jamie, to just piggyback off of your Baltimore point, they got to do something with the group of players that we've just mentioned. Like, one of these guys has to end up on their roster next season to help Lamar Jackson out, because they cannot ask him to do everything and not have any receivers for him to throw the ball to. All right, two more tight ends to go through. Gerald Everett next up on the list. We were just talking about the Los Angeles Rams. Jamie, how do you see this one playing out?
See, I'm not sure he comes back there. Like, I think they, the way that things kind of ended for him there, you know, the way that they kind of went with Higbee and then they used Everett a little bit and he kind of wanted out, and they it's been all kind of weird for me. He would be a really interesting player with Green Bay, I think. You know, I think Green Bay could use him. I think the Colts would be a really interesting one as well. They do need another tight end in that offense for Carson Wentz. I think both of those teams would be really intriguing options where you could get him fairly cheap. Like, he's not going to cost you Hunter Henry or Jonnu Smith type of money. He's shown that he can be productive when he's given opportunities to be featured as a receiver. He's still pretty young. He's still a physical player. I think he could be one of those guys that, like, is under the radar when he signs, but actually has a pretty solid season for one of these playoff contenders.
Yeah, I think Baltimore is an option as well, but he's not a hybrid tight end. He's a receiving tight end.
No, he's not Jonnu Smith.
I love your Green Bay point. I mean, Tonyan is basically the same player, but they need more weapons, especially if they're going to lose Aaron Jones. Gerald's interesting. I mean, he's a big guy, but he doesn't block a ton. But he's shifty in open space. I can still see him being that Baltimore-ish kind of thing, and they go back to having multiple receiving tight ends that are basically big receivers. He spent half of his career there split out wide and wasn't even on the line of scrimmage. It'll be interesting to see what happens with him. I think he gets decent money to go somewhere else because he's flashed enough that people want playmakers that you can move around, and you can be an inline player if you have to be.
Last name on the list. We started with the Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Let's end with the Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Rob Gronkowski. I think this is pretty easy. If he wants to play next season, he will be doing so in Tampa. Does anybody disagree with what I've just stated?
He already said he wants to come back. He already said he wants to play next year, and he wants to come back to Tampa to do it. Can you imagine him catching a pass from somewhere else?
No.
Unless you're Rob Ninkovich and you want to stir up some shit. Will he test free agency? Maybe. I don't think they let him. I think it's done. You know, when they have their legal tampering period, it's done and he's back, and it's probably for less money than he made this year. But he played 20 games. He was spectacular. He just doesn't get enough credit. He's the greatest tight end in the history of the game because he's a hybrid, as Jamie just called him. He will actually block, and he will block his ass off and road grade people. I mean, he didn't catch a pass in the playoffs, but he was trucking people, and then he catches two touchdowns in the Super Bowl. I can't imagine him catching balls from anybody else.
He's a hybrid but an elite hybrid. Like, there's nobody that has his elite level. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame blocker and a Hall of Fame pass catcher. Like, that is – you just don't find –
why is the greatest of all time? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he is just an unbelievable – and, again, we talked about this on the show. His run blocking does not get enough credit. Like, it is out of this world. He's not playing for anybody that's not Tom Brady. Like, I don't have any inside information.
He took Chase Young on by himself, yes, like five plays and owned him, basically playing extended left tackle against – the Redskins, or excuse me, the football team.
The Washington football team, please. Dollar in the jar.
I'm too old, man. Look,
that's like in the jar, please.
42 years of that word to be coached the football team.
You called the Raiders Oakland before, so that's two already on this show.
That's right. Everything that any indication that Gronkowski has given to anybody ever over the last couple of years is that he's interested in playing with Tom Brady, and that's it. He's not going anywhere. It's Tom Brady or retiring, which I don't think he's going to do either. So I think they run it back there one more year with those guys.
He's healthy. Like, he never played 20 games. He never played 16 in the regular season. By the way, you go back to Tom Brady when the Super Bowls he lost, those are the years Gronk was hurt. He never won one or never lost one with Gronk on the field. Tom ain't letting him get out of town. Like, if Gronk wanted to leave, Tommy and Gronky got issues. And I can't imagine those two having issues. They get along, like, better than anybody.
Just look at the post Super Bowl videos that came out with the two of them.
Cuties.
Yeah, they're, I think they're doing just fine. All right, final thoughts here on the show as we wrap up. So, Jamie, I'll kind of leave it open ended to you. Final thoughts on the two shows that we've done this week, the free agency preview at large, because we're done. We're done with all the offensive players, all the big name players that will be available via free agency that could impact your fantasy teams for next season.
to me, it's all about the top of this list. And whether it was Aaron Jones and the guys and Chris Carson that we talked about on the show earlier this week, or we're talking about where Allen Robinson and Kenny Golladay and Chris Godwin land. I'm with Jake. I think that it's going to be a lot less chaotic at the top of the wide receiver group than we're thinking. I'm hopeful to see some tag and trade scenarios, but they're not as easy as they are in other leagues. But to me, this is where there's tons of value. And this is, again, emblematic. And you guys are gonna start making me take shots every time I say this.
Yep.
But this is very emblematic of the wide receiver sphere in general. In fantasy and in the NFL, there are a lot of really good players at the position right now. It is a golden era for pass catching talent in the National Football League and in fantasy football. Like, we're talking about all these guys, and even, you know, even the not the Juju's and not the Kenny Golladay's. Some of these guys are going to make major impacts. They could end up being wide receiver ones elsewhere. Like, Corey Davis could go somewhere else and be their de facto wide receiver one. Marvin Jones could go somewhere. To me, I'm really, really excited to see where all these guys land. I just keep an eye on a few teams in particular. Like, if a wide receiver landing in Green Bay, for example, it becomes really, really intriguing. A wide receiver maybe potentially landing in Baltimore is incredibly intriguing. Indianapolis has that option. If the Dolphins get a wide receiver one and they change the quarterback situation. There are a few scenarios here where guys could kind of leap 10, 15 spots in your fantasy rankings from where you kind of would have ballparked them at the end of the season based on where they go here. Allen Robinson's even another one. He can't go 15 spots because he was already in the top 10, but if he makes a quarterback upgrade, if he goes to Miami, just to pick a team, and with Deshaun Watson, after playing with the quarterbacks he's played with Jacksonville and Chicago, you're talking about top five receiver. These are going to be extremely intriguing. I cannot wait for this to play out.
You know what this reminds me of, Chris? This is like living in the – you guys probably have never done this. So you're living in the South, and it's the 4th of July, and you have an afternoon thunderstorm, and it's just wet everywhere by the time you want to go shoot the fireworks. The fireworks are probably a little damp, and you light the fuse, and it doesn't work. And you light the fuse, and it doesn't work. And that keeps going for a while, and then whoop, one goes off because it was dry enough, and we have some fireworks and some sparks. That's going to be free agency. I just expect this to be franchise tag, franchise tag, franchise tag, franchise tag, a bunch of duds. Nobody's paying for running backs. This is a great running back draft. The running backs are getting better and better. When you look at James Robinson being a free agent, the guys you can get in the second round, third round, fourth round, not spending a ton of capital. I can't imagine Aaron Jones gets crazy money. Is it 11 or 12 million? Yeah, probably, but it's not going to be 15, 17, 18. I just expect this entire free agent process this year with this cap coming down to be a lack of fireworks. And that kind of sucks until we get in closer to the draft and you might see some of these tags turn into trades like we talked about, where some of these teams kind of get their feet to the fire and they say, okay, let's do something here.
Yeah, and I'll add to that as my final thought, Jake. I think the quarterback market's going to hold everything up as well. I mean, you have the franchise tag that's going to hold everything up, and there are teams that still are trying to upgrade at the quarterback position. Deshaun Watson is still out there. I still think San Francisco is trying to upgrade at the quarterback position. The number two and number three picks could both be in play. So, like, these are things that I think are slowing everything down, because we talk about the quarterback position so much on this show for fantasy, but in real life football, you got to have a good quarterback. So everybody's trying to upgrade their quarterback position, and it just kind of creates this logjam. And when March 17th rolls around, maybe some of this gets thought out and some of these guys come off the board, but this might be a slow burn until April. Jamie, where can everybody follow you on the social medias to see all of your content?
You can follow me at Jamie Eisner on Twitter.
Jake?
Jake B. Arians on Twitter and Arians NFL on Instagram.
Follow me on Twitter at Shoe Radio, SCHU Radio. And as always, the draftnetwork.com for all of the content podcast. It's draft season. So get over there, look at all the content for the NFL draft coming up in April. We will be back on Monday next week. Everybody have a good rest of your week and a good weekend. We'll talk to you then.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.